Welcome to Raw, where we hear true, unfiltered stories from real women in the actuarial profession. For the next half hour, you get to hear stories, advice, and all the latest tea from some of the industry's best and brightest. Wondering how the highest paid women asked for raises, how they became the first woman in their company C-suite, how allies can help them on their journeys. Get it all directly from the women who've lived it. This is Raw. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Raw. I'm your host, Lizzie Eason, and today I am joined by Corey Gusland. Corey is a principal and consulting actuary with the Chicago office of Milliman. He has both his FSA and MAAA. Corey has focused his career on creating sustainable healthcare financing structures that promote value-based healthcare. Corey was recommended to be on the show by Jesse Kildo, as he leads her and a number of women, and has been a great advocate and ally for women actuaries over the course of his career, and has benefited from great female leaders he has worked for. Welcome, Corey. Okay, so Corey, you are our first ally on the show. You are not a woman, so our first question for you is going to be a little bit different, but how have women actuaries influenced your career?
Sure, certainly. And firstly, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. So how have women influenced me throughout my career? Well, I think it really started pretty early on in my career. If I go back to some of my earliest memories, starting my career as an analyst, actuarial analyst here in Chicago, I can remember some of the best mentors and coaches I had were female actuaries. And, you know, they were the ones that taught me just the fundamentals of building sound economic models, and good spreadsheeting habits and all that stuff. And I didn't really realize it at the time, but in hindsight, I realized a number of them really went above and beyond. And I'm in terms of coaching and mentoring me, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years later, had the opportunity to work, take an assignment out in Asia. I was based in Hong Kong for a few years, and worked with a very impressive leader who was female. And she was, you know, learned a lot from her. One of the things, attributes from her, was just she was quite a visionary, helped grow the business 7x in 7 years. And over the part of that was overlapping when I was there, and learned a ton from her. Just the things that I learned from her and how she influenced me is just the power of positivity, enthusiasm, having a vision. You know, her positivity was really quite infectious, and probably one of the most perseverant people that I've had the chance to work with, and was just extremely determined. And, you know, she had quite an impressive story that things weren't handed to her, overcome many barriers herself to get to where she was, and found that incredibly inspiring. And she wasn't one of those female, wasn't a professional who was 100% focused on a job, also was raising a family while doing all these Herculean efforts during her tenure out there leading the business across Asia. And since then, you know, had the chance to work with some incredibly talented and bright peers that I've learned a lot from. And one long-term friend and female actuary that I can think of, she that I've always admired a lot. She was actually part-time, but we'd always joke that she was pulling off the work of a full-time actuary. And, you know, some of the things I admire about her was she was incredibly focused, and then seemed to have that ability, despite being very intense and focused at work, had the ability to shut off work. And I've never really seen anyone to be that focused, where they could be sort of applied that much determination, like on a part-time level, but then still be 100% present for her family. So it's another female actuary that comes to mind as I think about it. And, you know, now I'm in a position that I get a chance to lead a number of female actuaries that are upcoming. And I really see it as an opportunity to pay it forward from some of the female actuaries that I've had a chance to work with over the course of my career. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by any of this, because I'm my mom was a small business owner, and I got to see firsthand of the balance that professionals have when they're balancing between their career and raising their family. And I was brought up in an era where there was no remote work and flexible workplace. But my mom happened to run her own small business out of her house. So she had that flexibility before it was something that many of her friends and peers might not have had in a more corporate setting. But I got to see the benefits, and she'd be up very early before she'd take me to school working. She'd be still working late after she put me to bed, but was always very much present there in my life. And I'm incredibly grateful for that in hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah. To your earlier point about, you know, not having everything handed to you, I think that kind of comes with the territory of being a woman in this industry where we're still very much the minority. We're not like the default assumption when you think actuary isn't typically woman. And there's pros and cons to that, right? Because you do have to work harder, which I think at the end of the day often makes you more driven, but it definitely is more challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to that point, it's oftentimes you see with a lot of people that I've respect and admire, one characteristic many of them share is that they've had obstacles or adversity that they've had to face, and it ends up being that is what has made them who they are and that much stronger. So some, you know, despite having sometimes inherent challenges, obstacles, sometimes biases that can get in the way of progress, some of my colleagues, many of them female, it's that which seems to at sometimes maybe fuel their motivation and ambitions and make them that much more successful in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit before the interview about you leading a lot of women and trying to lead in a way that empowers the women on your team to be at their best. Can you talk a little bit about how, as an ally, you try to have a leadership style that empowers the women on your team?
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, it's not something that only women experience, of course, but I think a fair number of them would have to, at times, maybe experience it more, particularly if it comes to like having children, raising a family, but it could be other life events. But, you know, I guess one of my thoughts is I want to do whatever I can as a leader, as a boss, as a supervisor, to help my employees be at their best. And so for some of the female actuaries that I work with, they do ask for and require more flexibility. Some of them are raising small children, and that's a pretty small thing we can do. If that's what we can do to accommodate and they can perform at their best, then happy to do that. I was personally the benefactor, as I talked about earlier, with my mom and her having flexibility throughout her career, and so happy to do that, and you know, and happy to always have a conversation with my team members about what I can do, what the practice I work for, what we can do to help them be at their best.
Yeah, that's awesome. Over the course of your career, would you say you have led a lot of very gender balanced teams? Like, have you experienced a fair bit of gender balance in your career?
Yeah, I think so. I have never really tallied it up, and I don't know, where exactly the numbers fall. But if I just think amongst my teams now, it feels fairly balanced. And then if I think through my peers and also some of the mentors and leaders, I feel like it certainly seems like it's been balanced. I don't know, Lizzie, if you know what the numbers are these days in the actual profession and how it's trending, but certainly it feels balanced, and the women have no doubt had a huge impact, both the ones that I've had the chance to work for and the ones that I get to work with today.
Yeah. I think NAWA is conducting a study right now where they're trying to see if they can gauge kind of what the numbers are in terms of like women actuaries. And we're doing it at all levels too, right? Because I think a lot of people's experience is like, at the sort of entry level, you do have a pretty even mix. But then as you go up towards the like C-suite, you kind of, it becomes more male dominated.
Sure.
But I don't know the actual numbers because I think they're still running that survey. But when it's released, I'll let you know what we find.
Okay. Look forward to hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing I would add in terms of how I can help the female team members, peers, and folks that I supervise and manage today is also at the same time offering that flexibility, also at the same time not setting standards lower, because I am a believer that could actually undermine them in the long run. And I think that's consistent with the theme we talked about earlier, is that sometimes it's a challenge that actually help them progress and more further. And not saying that we should put barriers or do some of the things they've had to face, but at the same time not set the expectations lower either, because that could undermine their long-term growth and development as an actuary at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's super important as well. That totally makes sense. So what about your experience with other male allies? Like, have you encountered most men in your career being pretty supportive of women? Is it a thing you don't think about very much? What's your experience with other men been like?
Yeah, I think I'm lucky to work for an organization that at least I haven't experienced, and I don't see that. I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen and it doesn't exist. I've been fairly fortunate. And I guess my personal way of dealing with it, if I experienced behavior that maybe wasn't conducive of being an ally of female actuaries, I would certainly try to do my best to like tamp that down and avoid it and not promote it. So of course, in any way. So I'm fortunately, you know, haven't seen that side. I suspect we still have, you know, progress to be made. But it certainly seems like in the organizations I've worked with that, you know, I started my career in consulting that was more on the consulting on the employer benefits side of things. And so a lot of times we were working with HR, which I'm guessing if you looked within HR, there's probably a bias towards female potentially in the executive ranks. So maybe it was just culturally built in where you're going to have a stronger presence of female leaders and support for females. But now that I'm not in that space and luckily haven't seen a huge shift that way, but you know, that doesn't mean that we don't have progress to be made there.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen over the course of your career any differences between, like you mentioned, consulting and full-time gigs? Like, I know you've had a long and transitionary career. Have there been differences in any spaces regarding like the gender balance or supportiveness of women?
Yeah. I almost my entire career has been on the consulting side and the professional services side. So I spent about a year and a half in maybe what be, it wasn't an insurance company. It was a startup at that time, but I've mostly been in the professional services side of things. I do think on I think one thing that helps in this setting is in professional services, is I think performance metrics might be a little bit easier when you have things like client relationships, just number of hours work, basically revenue that you bring in, revenue that you develop. It potentially creates an environment where we have these metrics that maybe are like a little bit more difficult. There's less subjectivity when it comes to performance evaluation. There certainly is still going to be components of it where there is subjectivity. So perhaps that's a reason why maybe I've feel fortunate that I haven't observed some of the things that you hear maybe talked about that culturally aren't things that we've want to move behind in terms of supporting females in the workforce. I can't really comment on differences between the two, just given my experience. Some experience I've had that where I do see a lot of differences still is, so I mentioned earlier I spent a few years working in Asia. While I was based in Hong Kong, covered 14 countries over there, and working across countries, you still see that there is a lot of progress to be made across different countries. And, you know, no judgment to other cultures and the way they operate, but I can't think of personal firsthand experience of getting to know female professionals in other countries where maybe they're more traditional and women aren't expected to grow their career, that it is something that, just despite that's a different culture, there aren't females that really want to have the opportunity to progress their career. Similar to, I think, what, you know, in the US it's pretty commonplace to have female CEOs and female leaders and women who are very dedicated to their careers. So I'd say maybe that's something where I've been exposed to different experiences, and it's been more not across between consulting versus, say, more of a corporate setting, but different cultures. And that was really eye-opening, and sort of it did leave me with being also very thankful that I've been able to work for employers and for the most part in areas where I felt like women were supported.
Yeah, I think culture absolutely plays a massive, massive role in the success of women, because there certainly are a lot of cultures that are not supportive at all of like women having careers, or even if they are supportive of having careers, as soon as you have a child, it's like, okay, now that's what you're doing. No more career for you. Now you're a mom.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I don't think the US is the best country by far in terms of gender roles, but we definitely are better than other countries in terms of supporting women having careers, especially, you know, after becoming a mother.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of a situation when I was in Asia where I had two colleagues and they were actually married. They had met at work, and I won't name the country because I don't want to like single out a culture or like cast a stereotype, but they'd be working late at night and some of their colleagues would come up and say, I won't use the name, but you should go home. What are you doing here so late? To the female colleague, but to her husband, you know, would get nothing. And you might think, oh, they're being considerate, but she really took that. She didn't really appreciate that she was being treated differently.
Yeah.
And sort of gave her the feeling that maybe she didn't have as much opportunity, and that maybe right. The expectations were lower for her and what her role right. would be within the company.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. Like, why wouldn't you also be asking the man, like, why aren't you home being a father? You know, that
right.
It does tend to only go that one way towards the mother. Well, Corey, this has been a wonderful interview, super insightful. I'm going to transition us into our last question of the interview now. And this one is going to be the same for you as it is for all of our women interviewees we've had. So what is one raw piece of advice for women actuaries or allies that you would like to share?
Yeah, it's probably something related that I already touched on. But, you know, I'd say don't be afraid to tell your employer or your boss or your supervisor, whoever it is, what it is you need to perform at your best. And I think the power of that is you'll benefit from it, but it's also something where you're taking in their consideration, and hopefully they want to do what they can to help you be at the best. And so for each individual, that can mean many different things, but I think it should be a conversation you should feel comfortable and empowered to have. And I would hope an employer or boss would be receptive of it. And if that's not something they're comfortable with talking about, then and you're not able to have that conversation, that gives you that tells you a lot as well.
Yeah. All right, Corey, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard today, you can join NAWA to get all our latest podcasts and resources for empowering women actuaries at nawaactuaries.org. That's nawaactuaries.org. Our music is Divertimento in G by Haydn, performed by Lindley Baker, and our logo was designed by Haley Ostercorn, both women actuaries. If you're a woman actuary or ally who wants to get involved with our show, you can email us directly at ally@nawaactuaries.org. That's ally@nawaactuaries.org.